The opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
All right, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today. This is Zach Abraham, the Chief Investment Officer of Bulwark Capital Management, and we're actually recording the show on Friday today, or Friday, so that'd be yesterday. Pardon my confusion there, because we're doing the retirement workshop in Bellevue, and we should just be done by the time this show airs. So want to start off like we do every single week with the market update, and a lot of good stuff came out. And the reason we do this is we shouldn't react to small changes, you know, every single week. And I think probably the vast majority of you listening to this realize that we don't want to be reactionary investors. But I do think it's imperative to understand where we're at. And I think it's imperative for everybody to have an understanding of what's driving markets, you know, valuations, where we're at in cycles, because as we've all experienced over the last 20 years, usually when we get to that complacent area where everything feels great and everything looks great and markets are going up, we've had rude awakenings. Now, that's not to say that that's going to repeat itself. One of my favorite sayings is history doesn't always repeat itself, but it often rhymes. And, you know, I think that every rational person out there can realize that human beings are creatures of habit, and the world is filled with human beings, obviously. And so a lot of the same dynamics come up again. And we're going to talk about that. And I noticed one today that I've got to throw out there. There was a new company launching on their IPO. And so it's an initial public offering. They're putting their stock out there this week. And I'm not going to say the name of the company, but essentially the company has designed a giant vending machine that you can buy a car out of. And the market is valuing them at $2.5 billion. You know what? Maybe this could end up being the greatest investment possible. I just know that for me and for our clients, I could not stomach having a conversation with them where I said, you know, we had a bad year. We lost a lot of money. And what hurt us the most was the car vending machine company. That it just seems to me like that's sort of a, and I could be wrong, but it just seems so 1999, you know, the height of the tech boom. Hey, I invested in a car vending machine company. I mean, like I said, I could be wrong. Lord knows I've been wrong before. You know, I certainly do not have a perfect track record, but that's one of those things that just caught my eye and I went, huh? So, but let's get into the market update. A lot of news. Want to keep you updated about what's going on. Let's get first to the economy. So GDP numbers were announced today, telling us the amount of economic growth in the first quarter. We've had a big run up in stocks. The animal spirits are running wild on Wall Street. Everybody's fired up. And GDP came in at a 0.7% annual growth rate, meaning that if we continue the rest of the year at this same pace, we would essentially be right around 0% growth. Now, that's not a contraction. That's not a recession. But that's rough. Those are rough growth numbers to look at and to justify a stock market that's trading near or at all-time record highs, and both in terms of the level of the stock market and then also the valuation of the stock market. And for those of you that hear valuation and you think, oh, you know, what does that mean? We've talked about it at great length, and I don't want to bore the people who have heard the show before and go over it again, but you know, go to our website, knowyourriskradio.com, and you can pull up all of our podcasts on iTunes, and you can hear us talk about what valuation is and how we determine that. But like I said, the GDP numbers came out bad, right? They are not justifying the current level of exuberance in the market at all. But digging into the numbers deeper, what concerned me most, it wasn't just the level of growth, it was how we got it. So when we're looking inside the GDP reports that are released by the Federal Reserve Bank, they break it down into several different segments. And the one that concerns me the most is that consumer spending reached its lowest level since 2009. Now, we all know that we're a consumer-driven economy. As a matter of fact, the consumer makes up 70% of this economy. That's not the kind of metrics you want to see at all-time record highs. There's some other ones that concern me. U.S. Steel, biggest steel producer in the United States. They way underperformed their expectations, and they lowered their expectations for the next year going forward by 50%. You know, I'm not a metallurgical expert or anything, but when you look at things like steel, it's a good indicator of, you know, buildings being built, cars, you know, anything that requires steel. And when you see a number like that with markets surging and U.S. Steel reporting horrible results, as a matter of fact, I think their stock's down 26% in the last 2 days. It's hard to make a case that we're on the cusp of some big growth breakout. And I know a lot of the Trump fans out there, we talked about this last week, a lot of the Trump fans out there don't want to hear that. But it's not a knock on Trump at all. It's that Trump inherited a tough situation. Can he make it better? I think so. He's going to take the pressure off business. He doesn't hate business. He doesn't believe that you didn't build your business, like we've heard before. But there's only so much he can do, right? He can't deleverage companies. Companies have record levels of debt. He can't deleverage the government. Government's got record levels of debt. He can't deleverage the consumer. We've got record levels of debt. And not to mention that, but all these assets, stocks, bonds are very close right there. Real estate, all at record highs. This is not the makeup of an economic surge that's about ready to take place. I don't mean to pop any bubbles. Microsoft came out. They missed expectations too. They blamed it on the sale of their Surface. Cliff Natural Resources, iron ore producer, again, kind of like steel, right? They came in. They underperformed their expectations. The other ones that concern me, a couple financial companies, right? Credit card companies and lending companies, Synchrony Financial, Capital One. Not good results. As a matter of fact, delinquencies were climbing. Non-payment of debts was climbing to some of the highest levels we've seen in the last 5 years, right? So people defaulting on loans, people not being able to pay their credit card bills. Again, not good hallmarks. If it's a canary in the coal mine, it's not singing. It's not dead. I'm not saying that. Again, we don't try to predict where the market goes, because that's a fool's game. Nobody knows. Not me. You know, nobody. But again, looking at the economic picture, it's hard to sit there and justify the levels of the stock market and real estate and bonds and all this kind of stuff, you know, with these type of economic realities. And we got to pay attention to that. Oil's sub 50. Record amounts of oil is building up. Again, demand for oil is down. These are not things that you typically see at the height of markets. You know, go back 2007. Was it 2007? Real estate markets booming. Markets are going nuts. Oil's at $140. Go back to 99. Same thing. Oil was at 100 or close to it. Maybe not quite. But anyway, you see these indicators. You see there's growth everywhere. You see it. That's not what we're seeing. It's not at all what we're seeing. Does that mean we run and hide for the hills? No, but it means that, especially if we're close to retirement or we're in retirement, we need to batten down the hatches and make sure we're not overly exposed. And if things get better or whatever, that's great. We'll go up with it. But we got to manage our risk. We got to make sure we're not looking at some catastrophic losses, because the underlying dynamics here, they don't look good. And I'm not a pessimist at all. I'm a really optimistic person and an optimistic investor, but I'm not just going to whistle past the graveyard and pretend like I don't see the bad things that are going on. And I think that's really what we can help you with. That's what we talked about today at the retirement workshop, is lowering your risk, managing your risk. And if you want to know what we're talking about, call us and get our new booklet out called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And the way we position our clients, and somebody said, oh, that's, you know, that this program you've got that can't lose and goes up with the market, that's all you do. No, no, no. This is part of a portfolio. But what we want to do is we want to lower our exposure, and we want to position our clients so that if these bad things occur, if the numbers we're seeing through these, you know, these earnings reports and the GDP reports that I just talked about, you, if those are harbingers of what's coming, then we don't want to go down with it, right? So we want to reduce our risk and position our clients in such a way that if this is just an anomaly and growth's about to pick up, great, we're going to be fine. You're going to go up, everything's great. But if it's not, if we're on the cusp of another big downturn, we're not hanging out there blowing in the wind. We're not going to take some huge, nasty hit. When we saw bad signs, we saw storm clouds, right? So just, again, we're not running for the hills. We're not trying to time markets. We're just saying, hey, we've had a really good run. Let's dial back the risk a little bit and see where these things go. So give us a call at 866-779-RISK, and you can talk to us. We can do a complimentary risk review, kind of show you how we put portfolios together. Or you can just call and talk to the ladies that answer the phones. And you can order our new booklet, Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. In the booklet, we'll show you this risk-free investment tool that we're using in our clients' portfolios that, again, is 100% guaranteed against loss. And many of our clients have made 30% or more over the past 4 years while being exposed to no risk and not paying an annual fee. It exists. It's there. And we'll show you exactly what it is and how it works in the booklet. So call in and request the free booklet. If nothing else, it's a great, great source of information that everybody could benefit from. So give us a call, 866-779-RISK, or you can go to the website, knowyourriskradio.com, and you can, you know, see some of the stuff we've got on there. And I think we've got it so you can try to put in your information and order online. I'm not sure about that. We were trying to do that, but anyway, if you want the booklet right now, the best way to get it is to call in and give us a little information. We'll get the booklet to you. So anyway, give us a call, 866-779-RISK, and stick with us through the break. Got some other great segments coming up, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great, you'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
Welcome back, and thank you for sticking with us. Glad you can join us. Thanks for sharing part of your day. Want to get right into it, as I always do. And want to talk about, first of all, we had a great week, busy week. A lot of calls came in last weekend for the booklet and people wanting risk reviews. And I kind of feel like people are getting the gist that now might be a good time to review the portfolio and figure out, you know, how much exposure they've got, how that could impact retirement, things of that nature. And had several meetings, several phone calls with KTTH listeners this week. And probably the number one question I got was, Zach, we hear you talk about risk management. You know, what do you mean? And risk management, again, it's something that I laugh about because you hear nobody talking about it these days, which is always typical when markets are running hot. And you heard a lot about it in 2008, 2009. You know, it's everybody always wants to buy insurance after the fire, right? But the basic idea of risk management is this. Risk management is positioning a portfolio in such a way that you gain, that you go up, that you keep up with the pace that that you need to keep up with on retirement, or that you need to keep up to reach your goals, but you do it in a safer way. Okay, so risk management is making sure you're not overexposed in order to get the gains that you need. For instance, if you had a if your retirement goal, and we sat down and did a retirement plan for you, and we said, okay, based on the assets you currently have, you could reach your retirement goal making 5% a year. Would it be smart to have you 100% in stocks? Well, no, right? Because, yeah, stocks historically, now not over the last 20 years, but historically have, you know, returned somewhere in that 9.5%, 10% range. And it'd be great if you get that. But the question is, what happens if you don't, right? And so risk management is saying, okay, let's position ourselves in the least risky way to accomplish our goals, right? Now, sometimes when we engage in thorough risk management and really don't confine ourselves to just stocks and bonds, we can actually find ways to lower our risk and increase our returns, which is what we talk about and which is what we show you in that new booklet I talk about. And you hear me, you know, do it. Talking about it during the breaks is, you know, common sense investing, removing the risk from your retirement. We show you exactly how we do this. We show you how we're positioning clients to where if things keep going up and we're on the cusp of some big economic breakout, our clients will actually do better than they currently are. And they'll lower their investing fees, right? So that's what we look at in terms of risk management. Now, on the flip side, if we're right and tough times are ahead, then no big deal. Like I was telling a client yesterday, I had a meeting in Yakima, a client listener called in from Yakima. And I said to him, and he goes, you know, what happens? And I said, you know, we're really concerned about the markets. We're concerned about record valuations, blah, blah, blah. And you guys have all heard my spiel. And I said, look, if we're wrong, you're going to make as much, probably more than you've currently been making the way you're currently invested. But if we're right, the difference is going to be huge, right? Because a big portion of your portfolio now is guaranteed against loss. Your costs are lower. You've got more ways to win and way less ways to lose. That's risk management. And we should always engage in it. You know, for instance, if I told you right now, I don't, so don't quote me on this. But if I told you right now, hey, we've got this fully insured CD that's paying 6% a year, how many of you would sign up for it? Whenever I say that at a workshop or retirement seminar, every hand goes up in the room, right? Yet at the same time, a lot of clients choose not to, you know, not to engage in this option. Like I said, I don't have a guaranteed 6% CD. Don't quote me. I'm not saying we have that. What we do have, though, are vehicles that have averaged 6 to 7% a year and present zero risk. Zero risk of loss, 100% sure insured against loss, no annual fee. And it's happened before, right? Not everybody we sit down with becomes a client. But I'm looking at clients sitting on 40, 50% of their assets in bonds, making less than the current rate of inflation and paying a 1% management fee to do it, right? That, guys, that's not investing. I don't care what your financial advisor says. I don't care what you hear on CNBC. That's ludicrous. And the other thing you've got to remember, take it from a guy that worked at several of the biggest firms on Wall Street. There's a business side of this, right? They don't want you to look outside the asset classes of stocks and bonds. That's what they do. And sometimes you need to. I'm a stock guy. That's what I do for a living. That's why I got into this business. I love investing. I love portfolio management. I believe in it. Stocks are the best way to build wealth over the long term. But we also know that they can cause catastrophic losses. Does that mean we get rid of all of them? No, but it means during times like this, when everything's at the highest price possible, everything's great, right? Everybody's making money. Those are the times where just naturally we should get a little concerned and go, you know, trees don't grow to the sky. Nothing goes up forever. Things go up and down. And if I'm close to retirement, I want to make sure that I can retire. And what I'm telling you, the plans we're putting together for people, this isn't slowing you down. We're not costing you gains. Most of our clients, we're increasing them. And we're lowering their costs. And I got one caller that called in and just said, you know, I heard your spiel. First thing I thought was you were lying. Well, I can assure you that's not the case. Okay. And what we're really talking about here, and you guys have heard, listened to the show before, the dirtiest word in investing. What we're talking about is structured products, AKA annuities. Now, some of you are going to turn the dial off when you hear this, and that's fine. But let me just tell you an example. Every financial advisor, well, not every, but the vast majority of them, guys you hear on TV, they're going to tell you annuities are horrible. Let me just tell you a story. There was an annuity, just a plain, simple annuity, that all it did was you put your money into it. This product was offered, I want to say, around 2009, 2010, somewhere in there, maybe 2008. And put your money in there. You signed up for, I want to say it was a 7-year contract or something like that. And every year you got a guaranteed 6%. Not income, your money grew by 6% a year. How many people would sign up for that today? Right? Annuities aren't bad if they're used correctly and if they're used in the right context. And I hate to call them annuities because they're really not. What we're talking about are not things that are going to pay you guaranteed levels of income. These are growth vehicles. They're actually investment vehicles that you still control your assets. And they're a great diversifier because, A, and this is what we're talking about when we talk about risk management. If we take one of these products that's been averaging somewhere between 6 to 7% over the last 10 years, and it's guaranteed against loss, and we replace it with bonds, which is the safe part of our portfolio, right? If we'd have done that over the last 10 years, we'd increase portfolio performance by about 30% on average, depending on the product. And we'd drastically lower costs between 30 to 50% because you're not paying an annual expense fee. So this is risk management. This is what we need to be doing in these periods of times. We need to be making sure we're not overexposed to loss. Because the tricky thing about loss that most people don't realize is it's not just the loss, it's what you've got to do to get it back, right? A 50% loss, if you take a 50% loss in the marketplace, you need 100% gain to replace it. Okay, and that takes time. You can lose 50% in 3 months. We've all been there. We've seen these markets roll. It usually takes a long time to make it up. So just set your skepticism aside for a second. And even if you don't end up meeting with us, or even if you don't end up becoming clients, you need to educate yourself because we are living in strange times. We have record levels of debt, record low interest rates, and it's created anomalies. And what I mean by that is you can get 100% insured guaranteed against loss products that have averaged 6 to 7% a year, and you can replace your bonds, which are at record highs and paying record low amounts of interest, and be safer and save money in terms of investment costs and increase your returns. The low interest rates have created all these strange anomalies, and there's ways to take advantage of it. And that's what we do with risk management. We're assessing the environment constantly and saying, hey, how can we lower our risk but still increase our returns? We don't want to give up the upside. So give us a call at 866-779-RISK and request our new retirement booklet out called Common Sense Investing, Remove the Risk from Your Retirement. And we'll show you how our clients have made, in a risk-free product guaranteed against loss, some of our clients have made over 30% over the last 4 years. I haven't seen a bond portfolio that's come within a football field of that over the last 4 years. Just take a look. It's worth the time. So give us a call, 866-779-RISK. So give us a call at 866-779-RISK and let us get this information to you. We got to take a break. Thanks for listening. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great. You'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
Welcome back. Want to get really going to just speak straight to you on this one, because we're not trying to predict the way markets go. We're not trying to predict things. That's not what good investors do. It's about discipline. It's about sticking to your game plan, and it's about execution. But there is something out there that I think that everybody needs to be aware of. And if you listen to the show before, we did a piece on it last week. All the rage in the investment world right now is something that we call passive indexing. Okay. And what that is rather than investing in individual stocks or individual funds, you invest in the market. So when the Dow Jones or the S&P 500 goes up 1%, you make 1%. And the reason that this has become popular is because most people that try to manage their own money, they don't do this full time, and their stock picking is shaky at best. The other reason why we do it is, something like 65, maybe it's even as high as 80% of fund managers, mutual funds, underperform, meaning they don't make as much money as the stock market every single year. And they charge you a 50 basis point, 0.5% to 1% fee. So you're paying a 1% fee or a 0.5% fee to make less than the overall market. So how about we save you, I think a lot of these passive index funds cost something like 0.1% or 10 basis points. So why don't we save some money and just invest in the stock market and we'll do better. And that has really worked. It's been a great strategy. It's been great for investors. It's saved them money, made them more money. It's been a great thing. But like all things in this world, it's not perfect, right? And the father of passive indexing, the guy who started this, is a guy I've got nothing but respect for, a legend in the industry, Jack Bogle, the founder of Vanguard Funds. Many of you know Vanguard Funds. Many of you have probably done really well investing in Vanguard Funds. And we use a lot of Vanguard Funds. Like I said, I have nothing but respect for him, but he did an interview. I want to say it's about 2.5 weeks ago now, where they were talking about the success of Vanguard and how great it's been and how great this has been for clients. And it has been. And he said, I'm a little bit concerned. The success is a little overwhelming. And the reporter said, what do you mean? He said, well, right now, he goes, I remember when we got our first $1 billion under management. And he goes, right now, we've got $1 billion a day on average flowing into our funds. So everybody's going passive. And he said, that concerns me a little bit because over the last 8 years, the markets have averaged 20% annual returns. And he said, we know from history that can't keep up. And he said, as I look out at the next 10 years, if we average annual gains of 4 to 4.5% a year, I think that'll be a positive outcome. What? Hold on. Right? Break check. That should make everybody stop and listen. He said, if you average 4 to 4.5% gains over the next 10 years, that will be a positive outcome. Now, remember where this is coming from. This is a guy that is not just talking up his own company and his own investments, which is why I respect him so much. This isn't just self-serving. He's saying the opposite. He's saying, the performance of our investments that we offer people could really underperform over the next 10 years. And that's something people should be aware of. And why does he say that? He says that because he's looking at history. He's looking at how high the markets run. He's looking at valuations on the market, which, by the way, for those of you that don't think that, and I've had a lot of debates about this, okay? For those of you that don't think the market is overrated, overrated is a good word, but overpriced, too expensive, one of the things that we look at, people talk about PE ratios all the time, price to earnings ratios on stocks. The problem with price to earnings ratios, and I think they're a valuable tool, but one of the problems with them is that different accounting metrics, different accounting tricks, things like stock buybacks where a company purchases back its own stock so there's less stock out there, price to earnings multiples, they can be manipulated. They can be manipulated a lot. Okay, if you want to see some manipulated price to earnings, go check out Caterpillar's recent corporate results. And I'm not saying anything bad about Caterpillar. And it's not dishonest, but it's just manipulation. And it's done through accounting gimmicks and things like that. You can manipulate it. So how do we look at metrics that can't be manipulated? I think price to sales is really good. I think it's one of the ones that I look at. And what we mean by price to sales is, what is the price of a stock or a whole index of stocks like the Dow Jones or the S&P 500? I like the S&P 500 because it's the 500 biggest companies in the United States, and it really gives you a good feel of what's going on. And sales is total revenue, right? You can't fake that. If you made $20 billion in revenue, you made $20 billion in revenue. You can't manipulate it. So I like to look at that. Okay, so we all know that in 1999, in the height of the tech boom, that was the most overpriced the markets had ever gotten. They passed over the highs in 1929, and it became the most absurdly priced market of all time. And at that time, price to sales on the S&P 500, or the price of stocks compared to the total revenue on the S&P 500, was at 2.2. Okay, and that was an all-time high. Today, we're at 2.1. The average is somewhere around 1.4. Okay. That to me is pretty definitive. That the price to sales of the market, we are paying just a hair lower than we were paying in 1999. And we all know how that ended. Now, on top of that, we want to look at another one that I like, and this is the Warren Buffett value indicator. This is what Warren Buffett says he looks at, which is GDP versus total market capitalization. Again, looking at the entire value of the stock market and then looking at the entire value of the economy and comparing it. Going back to 1999, we hit a peak that I want to say was right around 139. So the stock market in aggregate, in total, was 40% larger than the entire size of the economy, which on the face of it should give you a warning, right? How can all these companies be worth so much more than the entire size of the economy? That doesn't really pencil. Well, today, with this run-up in prices we've had over the last couple months, we're at about 130. Again, just below the high in 1999, making it on that metric the second most highly valued stock market of all time. And remember, that's just stock market. That doesn't consider private equity, which is huge. Think of Uber. That's a private company, right? The amount of money in private equity is larger than it's ever been. And it doesn't include real estate, which is more valuable than it's ever been. So on a apples-to-apples comparison, you can make a really solid argument that on the Warren Buffett value indicator, GDP versus the entire net worth or the entire value of the stock markets added up, that we're at all-time highs on that valuation. Again, this is Warren Buffett's metric. I didn't make this up. Okay? Does that mean stocks are going to crash? No. Again, you hear me say this all the time. Nobody knows. I don't know either. What it does mean, though, is we're at an extreme. And, you know, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. I'm a big believer in science, right? What we do know is I feel like it's pretty safe bet saying this won't continue. Now, what that means, who knows? But what it does mean is that you should re-examine your investing goals, re-examine the way your portfolio is positioned, re-examine what you're invested in and why. Deploy risk management. Is there a way for me to lower my fees, lower my overall exposure, but still stay on track to accomplish my retirement goals? If everything ends up great and Zach's just a pessimist and a worrywart, that's okay. I'll still be fine. I'm still going to go up. Maybe I'll even make more than how I'm currently invested, which a lot of our clients have. But if I'm right, or if there is reason to be concerned, or if we are on the cusp of another big downturn, you're not going to get smoked. You're not going to have to delay your retirement. You're not going to have to get another job in retirement. And we've heard those stories. Yeah, you've all heard those stories all over the place. And so be proactive about this. Take some initiative and inform yourself. Educate yourself. There are other options out there. And give us a call at 866-779-RISK, excuse me, and request our new booklet, which is Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And we'll show you how we do it. We'll show you how we can lower your costs, increase your upside, and vastly improve your security. And it's not just talking points. We do it every day. 866-779-RISK. And we'll walk you through the process. And you can also request our new retirement booklet that we've just come out with. So give us a call. Go to knowyourriskradio.com. Check us out there. And like I said, just take the 2 minutes to give us a call and get the booklet in your hands so you just know. You're just informed, and we're not looking back 2 months from, or, you know, a year from now going, holy smokes, took another 60% bath, right? And hopefully that doesn't happen. Hopefully there's nothing to worry about. But if there is, you're covered. So give us a call, 866-779-RISK, and let us get this to you. So we got another segment coming up. We're going to get into that, but we got a break. Thanks for sticking with us. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great. You'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
Okay. Thanks for sticking with us. And for those of you that have just joined us, this is Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer of Bulwark Capital Management. And you're welcome to Know Your Risk Radio. And want to get into this next segment. I'm going to unveil my inner finance geek for you, but I think it's important for everybody to understand the things that are driving markets and the dynamics around it. If you heard the show before, you hear me talk about subjects like this all the time. But one of the biggest drivers, as a matter of fact, over the last 8 years during this big run up we've had, the largest purchaser of stock, right? Now, for those of you that don't know, stocks seem a lot more mystical than they really are. They're just fractional ownerships of a company. That's all it is. Okay. So stocks can go up and down and all over the place. And the underlying company, the value of it may not even change at all. The perception of value will change, which is reflected in the stock price. And as a value investor, what we try to do is we try to buy stocks where the perception is low, but we look at the actual company and we go, you know what? This company is actually doing pretty good, or it's worth a lot more than the perception. And that's where we want to buy the stock. We want to try to find those situations where the perception is different from the reality. And you don't always get it right, but the point of that investing and why that's become, you know, why value investing is so big and why Warren Buffett has been so successful is because we're not out there on a hope and a prayer, hoping that some new company or some new technology takes off. That's really hard to see, right? It's really hard to know what's going to go on. But if we're looking at a company that we understand, that's easy, that's been around for a while, that we're not worried about, in terms of, you know, their viability. And, you know, emotions change or whatever changes. And all of a sudden, now you don't want to own that company. That's old technology, or that's boring, or whatever. And the perception the value of the stock drops, and we look at it and go, you know, that stock's really cheap relative to the amount of money that company actually makes. I'm betting on a reversion to the mean. I'm betting that the average is going to hold, that that company's not going anywhere. And it's a safer way to invest, right? It's a, if you do it correctly. Now, you, it can go wrong, obviously, but that's the theory behind it. But stocks, just like anything else, are they are vulnerable, or they are exposed to supply and demand rules, meaning that sometimes the perception goes the other way. Sometimes people think that, oh, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread, and everybody wants the stock, even though the underlying company may not have made more money. Maybe it's not even going to stay in business, but everybody thinks it is. So the value of the stock shoots up, right? So stocks are subject to supply and demand rules. The more people that want the stock, the higher the stock price goes. The stock price does not reflect the reality of the company. It reflects the perception of investors. So the biggest driver of this over the last 8 years, believe it or not, has been the companies themselves. Now, how could that be possible? Through something we call stock buybacks. A stock buyback is when a company goes into the open market and purchases its own stock. And whatever amount it purchases, it buys it, and then it extinguishes it. And here's why they do that. Again, supply and demand. The less shares there are on the market, the more valuable those shares are. So it's an easy way to push the value of the stock up. And it's hard to pin it down exactly, but most estimates I've looked at that over the last 8 years, and maybe it's even for segments of time, but just to give you an idea, up to 70% of stocks being purchased on the exchanges have been being purchased by their own companies, stock buybacks. Now, why is that a big deal? Well, because, you know, many people smarter than I, which there's plenty of them out there, but many people that are a lot smarter than I am, I would refer to that as, you know, financial manipulation, right? Because the underlying company may not be doing better, but just due to the fact that we've got less stock out there, it's pushing the prices up. Now, the reason I bring this up, and that's not always bad, right? If you've got a good company that's got excess cash, they're a mature company, maybe they don't have any way to deploy it, they're already issuing a dividend, something like that, and their stock's not performing real well, and you go, yeah, you know what, why don't you take some of that excess cash in your balance sheet and buy some stock back and make my shares go up? That's a good thing. As an investor, as a matter of fact, you look for that. But it's gotten so widespread that it worries me. And like I said, a lot of other people are sitting there going, hey, wait a second. Hold on here. What happens when they quit buying back their stock? Right? So now, why have stock buybacks become such a big deal? There's a lot of reasons. But the number one driver of stock buybacks over the last 8 years has been record low interest rates. And at first you might hear that and kind of scratch your head and go, well, how in the world does that affect it? Here's how it affects it. If you've got a record, let's say you're a company. Let's use a company that Walmart. I don't know what Walmart's dividend is, right? And a dividend, for those of you that don't know, if we buy a share of stock, the company pays us X amount of dollars every single year we own that stock. I love dividends. Beautiful thing. You get paid to wait. You buy the stock. You hope the stock does well, but regardless, you're getting that dividend payment. So it's wonderful. But why interest rates affect that is if a company at record low interest rates, let's say they can go in there and borrow money at 1.5%. And let's say they got a 4.5% dividend. So they go and borrow money. They get debt, right? And the debt's on the balance sheet. But they're only paying 1.5% servicing cost on that debt per year, right? They take that money that they borrowed and they go into the open market and they purchase back their own stock. Remember we said that the stock is paying a 4.5% dividend? Well, that dividend now on the stock they purchased, they don't have to pay that dividend, right? Because they bought the stock and they extinguish it. It's gone. So even though they're spending 1.5% on the debt that they acquired to purchase the stock, 1.5% is 3% lower than the dividend they were paying on the stock they purchased. So basically, they've retained 3% there, right? The difference between 1.5% to 4.5%. And that retained dividend payment drops to the bottom line and looks like earnings. Which makes, so now we've got less shares on the market and we've got higher earnings. makes the company look cheaper, makes it look more attractive. But what's really changed? Nothing. Okay? Except the debt. And corporations right now have, they've been doing record stock buybacks, and they've got a record level of debt on the balance sheet. And here's the problem with that. What do they do? What did that debt do? That debt didn't build a factory. That debt didn't invest in new technology. Both of those things would generate revenue to help you pay down the debt down the road, right? That's not what they did, though. They bought stock back. There's no asset there. So what we refer to that as unproductive debt. Okay, that debt's still got to get paid back. The reason I bring that up is interest rates have started creeping up. Stock buybacks in the first quarter of this year have dropped 25%. So the number one biggest driver of stocks, the number one biggest purchaser of stocks is slowing down because interest rates are moving up. It's just math. And we need to keep an eye on that. We need to know what that's doing to the value of the stocks that we own and the mutual funds that we own. We need to know how that's changing the dynamics in the market and how it's making the market look cheaper, even though the market's at almost all-time high valuations. It probably should be higher if you X'd out those stock buybacks or a portion of them. But these are all these 0% interest rates is like a it's like an octopus. It's got its fingers into everything, and it's distorting financial reality. And we'll talk about that in the new book we've got coming out or that's out, Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. There's no catches, no tricks. It's complimentary. Get it. We'll get you a copy, and you can educate yourself on some of this stuff and see how we're protecting our clients. Again, give us a call, 866-779-RISK, and request your free copy of the new retirement booklet, Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement, or go to Know Your Risk Radio. Check us out there, and like I say all the time, educate yourself. Make sure you know what you're invested in and why it's where it's at, right? And what it's likely to do and what your risks are. So thanks for sticking with us. I got another great segment coming up. Stick with us through the break. Got to take that break right now. But you're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great, you'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
Welcome back, and thank you for sticking with us. Just going to jump right into it. Bonds. For those of you that have heard me or heard the show before, you've heard me talk about bonds. And when we talk about investing, and this is common with whether we're talking to KTTH listeners or existing clients or we're doing workshops and seminars, everybody is always so focused on the stock market, okay? And I think that that's, and I get it. You get wild swings. And nobody focuses on the bonds. And I talk to some people every once in a while, they go, oh yeah, bonds, you know, I don't like them, or they see the problems, or, but the focus, you know, you turn on the news, you turn on CNBC, it's this stock's going up and this stock's going down and market's going through the roof or the market's going to collapse. Nobody ever talks about bonds. And I get it. They're more boring. And for those of you that don't know, bond is a debt. You're buying a debt from somebody and that debt carries with it a percentage yield, right? So you get paid X percent, you know, somewhere between, well, historically, you know, 5-7%. Today it's more like 2-3%. But you get paid that percent for holding that debt. And it's a great way to generate income. A lot of people in retirement, especially in years gone by, just said, you know, I don't want the ups and downs of the stock market. I want the consistency and the safety of a bond portfolio. I want to just make that income and sit on my principal and not touch it and just live off the interest, right? And so what we do, and when I was working at Russell Investments, we pioneered these things called retirement or target date funds or target portfolio funds. And the whole idea was that rather than having to adjust your portfolio, that as you approached retirement, your money was automatically switched over to a higher percentage of bonds, right? Because, again, less risky, more consistent, don't fluctuate nearly as much. And that's been a great recipe for the last 35 years. The problem that I see is that the world is fundamentally different. For the last 35 years, interest rates, which peaked in the early 80s, I'm sure many of you listening to this show remember 15% mortgages. It just seems unbelievable now. But as a matter of fact, I want to say, oh, geez, maybe it was when I first started as a financial advisor. I remember somebody coming in with a 9% CD or something of that nature. And I just remember, you know, my jaw dropped. And I can't believe that. But you remember the high interest rates. And for the last 35 years, interest rates have been falling. So bonds have two ways to win, right? They pay us that interest every single year. But bonds, just like any other security, like a stock, like a mutual fund, they can go up and down in value. And for the last 35 years, it's been beautiful because you're collecting that interest. But interest rates have been dropping steadily. Last 35 years, pull up a chart on the internet, type in Fed funds rate last 35 years, and just see it, just a steady decline. So you were getting paid the interest on your bond, and meanwhile, the value of your bond was going up. So you're making money both ways. It's been fantastic. But, and again, maybe I skipped ahead. I don't think I mentioned this, but bonds are tied to interest rates, and this makes perfect sense. What would you rather have, a 9% bond or a 5% bond? Well, of course, if all things being held equal, and the credit worthiness of the bond is the same or it's issued by the same company, you'd rather make 9%, right? So as interest rates drop, the bond paying 9% is more valuable because all bonds are issued in $1,000 denominations. We call it par. You buy a bond at par, that means you paid $1,000 for it. But like I said, as interest rates drop, the value of that bond goes up. And they've been dropping for 35 years. But what happens when rates reach zero? Okay, this is the big thing that not enough people are talking about. Well, what happens when interest rates reach zero is, first of all, the bond is paying you a record low amount of interest. Right? And we all see that. I sit down with people literally every week who have made next to nothing on bonds over the last 6-7 years. But what we also experienced during 2008 is people were woken up to the crude reality that bonds can lose money. 2008 was the first year that stocks and bonds, first year since the Great Depression, stocks and bonds both were down more than 20% in the same year. And herein lies the problem. Remember, bonds and stocks are historically, they move opposite of each other. Bonds go up, stocks go down. Stocks go up, bonds go down, right? But that's not what's happened for the last 10 years. They've been moving together. A lot of that's because the Federal Reserve and other central bankers around the world have been buying up bonds in an effort to push interest rates down. But anyway, what we saw in 2008 with bonds and stocks both going down at the same time, the inverse is true. Bonds and stocks have gone up at the same time. As a matter of fact, was it last year in late August that U.S. government bonds and the S&P 500 hit all-time highs on the same day? That's not supposed to happen. And now interest rates are at zero, so, you know, you don't have to be Nostradamus to sit there and look at it and go, you know, if interest rates are going to move, they're not going down, right? They're going to move up. And as bonds make money as interest rates drop, they also lose money as interest rates go up. Okay, so now you're sitting on an asset that's paying you a lower amount of interest than the inflation rate. So you're losing on real terms, all right? And on top of that, as interest rates rise, the underlying value of your bond is going to lose money. So you're going to be stuck. You either got to sell the bond for a loss so you can take that money invested at higher interest rates, or you got to sit on that bond until it comes due. And that's a scary proposition because a lot of people are going further out on the duration, you know, buying bonds that come due in a longer period of time, because the longer, you know, the further out that the bond comes due, the higher rate of interest you'll get. So people are doing what we call chasing yield. But what that means is as rates start to rise, the longer the duration of your bond, the more it's going to get hammered in terms of the price. So your bond's going to lose. So the safe part of your portfolio that's supposed to act like a firewall around your retirement plan, A, it's losing money, whether you realize it or not, because most of them aren't paying you, like I said, a high enough, you know, the rate of yield you're getting on those bonds is lower than the inflation rate. So in real terms, you're losing money, especially after you put an advisory fee on top of it. But as rates rise, all of these bonds are going to lose money. It's just math. I'm not predicting anything. And so you look at it and go, hey, when's a good time to reassess bonds? Probably when interest rates hit zero. Like I said, you're sitting on an asset that literally has no more room. I mean, maybe if rates go a little negative, which I don't think they're going to do again because that was a disaster in Japan. Economy like froze, and it has not worked in Europe either. And so zero, you know, zero. And you know, how high can they go? And I'm not predicting they're going to shoot up, but if they don't, and if you don't lose money, if you don't lose principal, once again, your consolation prize is sitting there getting a rate of return that's less than the inflation rate. So why don't we look at bonds? Why don't we sit there and go, hey, this probably isn't a smart investment, right? The 35-year run, it's been great, but we need to figure out something else. And this is where the whole risk management comes into play. Every client that I have sat down with can benefit from substituting their bonds with one of these risk-free products that we're talking about that's tied to the market. Because as interest rates rise, typically the stock market rises as well. So if you've got a 100% insured against loss vehicle that has no annual expense and it's tied to the stock market, so it gets 50, 60% of the upside in the stock market, you go from losing money in bonds to a vehicle that's guaranteed not to lose with no annual expense rate, and that's also gaining money. So you flip it around. But these are the kind of ideas we're deploying to help our clients lower their risk and increase their returns and lower their expenses. And we talk about this in the new investment book, Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. Give us a call at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK, and get your copy of this free booklet. It's complimentary. We're not going to twist your arm. But everybody needs to know this. It's not just stocks that we need to be aware of. Bonds are actually the thing that worries me because theoretically, stocks can go up forever. Bonds are restricted to interest rates. If interest rates go up, bonds lose. I don't care what anybody else says. It's just math. And they're going up. So that's also something you need to take a look at. So once again, give us a call, 866-779-RISK, and we'll show you what we're doing, or we'll send you a complimentary copy of the new retirement booklet, Common Sense. Anyway, thanks for listening. It's been a great show. Join us next week and have a great weekend. This is Zach Abraham, the host of Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.